Today, we're speaking with members of the UF Pelvic Floor Program's medical team about urinary and bowel disorders and the multidisciplinary program UF physicians have created to care for all their patients' needs. The University of Florida Pelvic Floor Program takes a multidisciplinary approach to diagnose and treat pelvic floor disorders, conditions which affect bowel and bladder function. A team including specialists from gastroenterology, colorectal surgery, gynecology, urology, radiology, and physical therapy work together to address multiple conditions a single patient may be experiencing and offer individualized treatment plans. Pelvic floor disorders include overactive bladder, constipation, incontinence, and pelvic organ prolapse. Baha Moshiri, an assistant professor of gastroenterology who focuses on constipation and fecal incontinence, says depending on the cause, medical treatment will be geared toward what is actually causing the problem in a particular patient. She offers a sample of causes.
Sometimes it's due to obstetric surgery in the past. If patients have had multiple vaginal deliveries with trauma, episiotomies, for example, if there's some kind of spinal injury that may be causing the problems, and other times it could be as easy as just constipation, lifelong constipation, problems with defecation or incomplete evacuation, problems with fecal incontinence where there's actual leakage of stool that patients cannot prevent. Other times it can be gynecologic problems like endometriosis, which we see very commonly actually in younger patients.
Diagnostic tools the team uses include anorectal manometry, which is a way to test the function of the muscles necessary for defecation. It allows them to see any defects or weaknesses within the sphincter muscle and pelvic muscles. It also tests patients' sensation levels, which is important for those who feel like they do not completely evacuate when passing stool. Pudendal nerve testing measures the delay between an electric impulse and the muscle contraction. This is an important measurement since these nerves extend to the pelvic floor muscles and the anal sphincter muscles. Anal ultrasound evaluates the structure of the sphincter and surrounding tissue. This is useful to produce images of the internal and external anatomy of the anal sphincter.
The other thing we have now is MR defecography, which our radiology department performs, and that's a great way of seeing the actual pelvic muscles to see if there's any anatomic or structural defects in the pelvis. We can see if there's scar tissue or adhesions from previous surgeries, and we can also see whether the angle of the anorectum that needs to straighten when patients defecate, if that's actually correct.
The team says treatments range from dietary changes to physical therapy to medications to more interventional procedures such as the SECCA or S-E-C-C-A procedure, which is when temperature-controlled radio frequency is delivered to the sphincter, causing tissues in the area to shrink and tighten. This increases sphincter tone and helps improve bowel control. Dr. Sanda Tan, an assistant professor of surgery, said surgery is usually the last resort after other treatments have been exhausted.
By the time you need the surgery for constipation, we can then operate and maybe take out all the colon. If they are incontinent, we can then repair the sphincters, or in more extensive cases, we may even have to give them artificial sphincters.
Dr. Tan said an artificial bowel sphincter is a device implanted under the skin which is designed to mimic the natural function of the anal sphincter. Tan said pelvic floor problems are very common and that it is estimated that by 2010 there will be 150,000 females and 40,000 males in North Central Florida alone who will have been diagnosed with pelvic floor disorders. Katia Gachago, an assistant professor of gastroenterology, added that these conditions can affect people of all ages, but that more than 50% of people over the age of 55 will have some issue with pelvic organ symptomology or organ dysfunction.
This is an issue that touches everyone's life, especially as our population ages. One of the reasons why a multidisciplinary project is important is that often with one problem comes the others. If you have rectal incontinence, it's often associated with urinary incontinence as well as sexual dysfunction. So it's wonderful to have not just one doctor, but several doctors involved with putting their heads together to deal with your issues, as well in a place where we're dedicated to the advances.
Dr. Lewis Moy, an assistant professor of urology and director of the Female and Reconstructive Urology Program at UF, specializes in disorders related to urinary function. He said urinary incontinence is the involuntary leakage of urine, and stress urinary incontinence specifically deals with leakage of urine with exertion activities such as coughing, laughing, and sneezing. Moy said UF physicians are able to offer the full range of treatments and therapies depending on the patient need.
In this day and age, there are a number of different treatments, and there are better treatments now than there have ever been. Typically, with conservative treatments, we can start off with pelvic floor training as well as biofeedback.
Working with Shan's physical therapist, Vicky Lukert, Moy said biofeedback, which may require multiple treatment sessions, is when the patient works to strengthen their pelvic muscles, monitoring their progress on a computer screen as they practice.
They are able to actually see, get visual feedback so that they're able to correlate their actual pelvic floor contractions with the visual cues to show that they actually really are doing it and monitor the progress over time and see how they progress.
Moy said currently there aren't any good medications available for the management of stress urinary incontinence, but if progress cannot be made with physical therapy, there are some minimally invasive procedures available.
We can use urethral bulking agents as well as a variety of sling procedures, including synthetic slings made of man-made materials, or we can even use your own tissue to perform the procedure.
Urethral bulking agent is an in-office or outpatient procedure where an agent is injected transurethrally to improve coaptation of the lining of the urethra to treat urinary incontinence. Sling procedures typically involve the placement of a synthetic mesh to support the urethra. This is performed in a minimally invasive fashion and is often done on an outpatient basis. Overactive bladder is a condition usually defined by urgency and sudden desire to void with difficulty, with the ability to defer urination. It may also be associated with urinary incontinence, frequency, and getting up at night to urinate.
There's a systematic approach to managing overactive bladder. You would typically start off with conservative therapies, which would consist of behavioral changes, modifying your fluid intake as well as diet. Once again, pelvic floor exercises could also be a component of this. Oral medications are also an important part of the management of overactive bladder. Going beyond conservative therapies, there are surgical therapies which can be used, such as neuromodulation. These include sacral nerve stimulation with the InterStim device. Other more invasive treatments include detrusor myomectomy with reconstructive surgery on the bladder.
Moy said the more invasive therapies are typically reserved for only really severe cases of overactive bladder. As far as when to see a physician, Moy says that if a patient that has symptoms that are bothersome or negatively impacting their quality of life, that it would certainly be worthwhile to be evaluated. In terms of who is impacted by urinary incontinence and overactive bladder, he said these conditions can affect men and women, as well as people of all ages and races.
Typically, though, it does occur more frequently in women than in men and does increase with frequency as people age. The prevalence of it may be as high as 20% to 30% in younger women, and up to 50% of older women may suffer from urinary incontinence of some sort. Men also may suffer from this after some surgical procedures, as well as with neurologic disease also.
Pelvic floor disorders are a different genre of disorders, and I feel it's a burgeoning field that we have cutting-edge technology in order to get to the bottom of. Oftentimes, the studies that we do here are studies that they don't have in the community, and as a academic center of excellence, we're able to pinpoint these issues and these symptoms. I think that when people hear such words as incontinence and constipation, it leads to a lot of embarrassment, and I want to encourage our future patients out there that it is a common problem and they're not alone.
Dr. Tan added,
a lot of times people are embarrassed to talk about the issue already to begin with. And if you have to go to different physicians and repeat the same thing over and over, people are reluctant to do that. So in this way, we form a centralized phone call area so we can arrange for all these issues to be handled in an efficient, timely manner at the comfort of the patient.
Thank you for listening today. To learn more about bowel and bladder disorders, the UF Pelvic Floor Program offers centralized care with nurse coordinators serving as your point person for questions and appointments. UF physicians understand how socially debilitating loss of bowel and bladder control can be. You do not have to suffer in silence. Call today. The number is 352-265-UFPF. That's 352-265-8373. This is Garrett Hall. Thanks and take care.